Let's quickly pray. Let's stay standing. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you that we can come into your presence and that we can also come around your word, God. We thank you that you want to plant your word in our hearts. And you, first of all, prepare our hearts. So will you do that right now? Will you make it soft if our heart is hard so that your word can be planted deep in our hearts? God, we submit to you now. We want to do your will. We resist the devil. We thank you that he has to flee. We pray hedge of protection around us and our children. We pray in this hedge of protection that you administer to us, bring freedom and healing into our life. If anyone is without hope, we pray that you draw them unto yourself now. Knock on the door of their hearts so they can open up that door and receive you as their Savior in Jesus' name. Everyone believe it said? Amen. You guys can take your seats. Good morning to everyone. We are building up to Easter. Of course, we're doing our Easter egg drive. What we do on Easter is have lots of fun with our kids' church environment. So not only are they going to learn about Jesus, they're going to have an Easter egg hunt. And so we want to collect as many so that they can really have a good time on Easter. So if you want to donate to that, why don't you buy one of these when you go shopping, or if you do online shopping, put that in your cart and then you can bring it to the location. But that's what we're doing. Of course, we know for kids, we need to create a space where it is fun and they're going to learn a lot more. I went to a Sunday school where they had to do it after the service. So we had to do an extra hour and a half after church. That was already 2.5 hours. So, and we knew the adults had way more sin than the kids, but they made us sit longer. Anyone go to a Sunday school like that? Anyone? Anyway, only question I ever asked was, are we done yet? Anyway, so I became very popular with other guys because they all thought it was funny, but the guy leading the Sunday school didn't really like me. Anyway, but I've learned a lot from that Sunday school, and I've decided to try to make our View Kids way more fun than the Sunday school experience I had. Anyway, so why don't you donate some Easter eggs? They're going to learn about Jesus, about him dying on the cross, his resurrection. And we believe lots of people will be impacted. And then we've got our invite cards. The one side just says Easter, you're invited, and then the times. And we've been asking everyone to do the 1-1-1 challenge where you pray for one person for 1 minute at 1 p.m. every day. And you're going to be partnering with our intercessory prayer team who's been praying for quite a while. So think about that person you want to invite. At the end of the service, you can just grab a card as you leave the door. And you might want to buy a gift and give them the gift with the card. Remember, your gift makes room for you. Generosity opens up people's hearts. And so why don't you do that? And we've seen it many times over the years, just to invite what it leads to. Somebody gets saved, they bring their family member. And so why don't you keep making the most of this opportunity? Remember, Scripture says that in heaven, soul winners will get a crown. There'll be a crown, a reward for soul winners. And so in this time, we want to stir up you being outward looking, where you're praying for your friends and family. So I encourage you to do that. Let's quickly just pray for Liverpool. Jesus, I pray that Liverpool wins today in Jesus' name. Everyone believe it said? Amen, amen, amen. See, I love sports. Even yesterday, I got to watch the England-Ireland game. And I reckon it's because South African coach, one of our coaching staff, moved to England now. Now they won a big game finally. Hey, everyone believe it said? Amen. Anyway. And I think because Bongi said they got plastic energy, I think that woke them up as well. They wanted to show him that they've actually got a bit of passion. But anyway, we've been going into a brand new series, which we're going to do all the way to Easter. And the book of John gives us a picture of who Jesus is. We see who he is through how he interacts with people. We also learn about what he has for us through the miracles. And last week, we'd have looked at Jesus interacting with the woman at the well, and really how she opens her life up to a water that will cause her to never thirst again. And a lot of us are trying to find life in something that's going to drain us, but we can have life in Christ. Today, I want to look at Jesus doing the first miracle. And the whole point of us looking at this book is that Jesus has come to give you life to the full. John 10 verse 10 says, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you may have life, and have it to the full." And of course, through Jesus' interactions with people and the miracles, even as we look at them, please see it as an invitation and to asking him to do those same miracles in your life and also opening up your life to a greater relationship with Him. Now, a while back, Leanne and I sold a house and moved into a new house. I don't know what happened, but they put a new address on our rates and a water and rates bill, the new address, but they didn't change the account details. I never picked that up. So when I got my my bill and I went and scanned it and paid, I never realized I was paying into the another account. So the one day I have the city of Cape Town, and I did speak to them about it because they never gave me any communication, no email, no physical letter. They turned my water off. You can imagine what a blessing that was in our household as the guy who's sorting out the water. What have you done? You know what I mean? And so when I phoned them, I said, "See, I don't know what's happening, but I don't remember not paying." Like, you know what I mean? So I don't know what's happened. Did you guys up the bill at another level? How the heck did I get you? And then I said, "This is the number on my bill." And they said, "Well, that's actually not your account." I said, "Well, you send me the account via email. That's the only way I get it. I don't get physical." And I said, "I never had any communication that I wasn't paying my account. But this is the one you send me." And we emailed back and forth and spoke to them on the phone. They said, "Oh, Suna, that account's got a lot of money in, but it's going nowhere." And then your accounts, you owe us pretty much the same amount of money. They actually said, "Actually, you've got a positive." Because I got a bit stressed because I thought I wasn't paying. So I ended up that week, they turned it off. I went and paid an extra amount and then phoned them. So I just paid my monthly water bill. They said, "Oh, well, you've paid ahead now." The crazy thing, it took them 2 days to rectify it. I needed an affidavit. It was this crazy. It was like torture. I was this guy that was in the wrong. I said, "Guys, you guys even told me on the phone, you've got my money." You know what I mean? And now I just need you to transfer it into my account and switch my water back on. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so that my wife will love me again. Hey, this is for the sake of my marriage here. But it took them forever and 2 days and only in the evening, they turned it on. But the reason I bring that up is you might be doing something that's actually not going to lead to what you want it to lead to. You might be pouring your life into something that you think is going to save you, or you think is going to take your marriage to a new level. You might even think it's going to bring you satisfaction. But at the end, you look and it's what you really want is running on low. And you spent yourself on something that's actually not going to bring you any return. Of course, Jesus, as he does the miracle of turning water into wine, he goes to a Jewish community and in a way gives them a picture that they're going to run out, even though they think what they're doing is going to lead to fulfillment. Even as they are religiously obeying the law, it was never going to save them. And Jesus was giving them a taste of the miracle he wanted to do in their life. John 2 says, "On the third day, a wedding took place in Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, 'They have no more wine. Woman, why do you involve me?'" In that day, that would have been a very respectful way of speaking. "I encourage men not to do that now if you want to live." Jesus replied, "My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so. The master of the banquet tasted the water that had turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you've saved the best till now. You've saved the best for last." What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. And of course, you see the disciples grow in their faith as they see you are the Son of God. Of course, the first thing I want to point out is this is pretty normal to have a ceremonial washing station in a way, jars that were used to wash your hands before they ate. Matthew 7, verse 2 said, it just gives you a picture of their practices. It says, and saw some of his disciples eating food with their hands that were defiled, that is unwashed. The Pharisees nor the Jews did not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing. And so this was tradition, and it was part of what they did. And of course, the washing almost represented that they were unclean. And they were a people caught up in sacrificing animals to cover their sins and doing ceremonial washing. But they were also people who got caught up in traditions, in rules that they thought made them more clean and made them better. But this was just a foreshadowing of their need for a Savior. These things were always going to run out. They were never going to bring what they really were looking for. And Jesus used that moment to show them that Israel, the Jewish people, and us, you're going to run on empty. You're going to need me to fill you. Just like the woman at the well was never going to find satisfaction and fulfillment in another relationship, the only relationship she was going to find it in was Jesus. Jesus was pointing this out. They were looking for hope in all the wrong places. They were looking for joy in all the wrong places. The wine, in a way, represented a joy, a gladness. And they were looking for this, but they had run out. They were going to run out. The Jewish nation was going to run out of joy. You and I on this planet will run dry when it comes to joy. We will run dry when it comes to hope, if our hope's in the temporary, if our hope is just in the economy, in the place you live, it will run dry. We should not be looking for a joy, a grace, and a hope here on earth. We should be looking for it in heaven. We should be looking to Jesus, and we should understand as we do it, we will be filled with what he wants to give us. But we have to look to him. Of course, Psalm 104 mentions what wine is, wine to make them glad. It says here, wine to make them glad, olive oil to soothe their skin, and bread to give them strength. And biblically, wine would represent a joy and a gladness. In a way, they were without hope, and there were people on the verge of losing all their joy. Jesus was coming, and Jesus brought fullness where there was emptiness. And this is the invitation to you. If you are empty, if you are feeling like that, Jesus wants to bring a fullness into your life, a contentment into your life that only he can bring, a joy into your life that only he can give. He wants to give you joy where there was disappointment. This wedding feast, there would have been great disappointment as they ran out of wine. But Jesus was saying, where you are going to run out, where you are going to be disappointed in life, please, I'm inviting you to come to me. I'm inviting you to receive your joy in your relationship with me. God, Jesus was going to do something internal for that which was only external. They were fixated on external things, external cleansing. But Jesus was going to cleanse their hearts. He was going to save them. And this miracle invites us to all these things. And this miracle was also a miracle of acceleration. To get that quality of wine would take a lot of time. And Jesus did it in a second. These people had been building their lives towards being better. They follow rabbis. They'd learnt the Torah. They'd done the ceremonial washing. They'd done all the feasts, but nothing was changing them. But Jesus would come in a second, die on a cross, 3 days later, rise from the grave, and accelerate the miracle. And I want to encourage you, even as you see this, he also wants to do it for you. He wants to accelerate a miracle in your life. Even as your marriage has been stuck for years, if you invite him in, he can accelerate something. He can do a miracle very quickly. Even as you've been stuck, even in your business, God can give you keys. He can accelerate things. And so I want to encourage you, see the invitation. He can accelerate the miracle. Of course, what we see here is that Jesus, of course, gets asked by his mom, and then he tells the servants to gather the water jars and fill them with water. And as they are obedient, God transforms them. He transforms the water. I want to encourage you as well that as you are obedient, that's when you position yourself for transformation. As you are just obedient, even when you don't think it makes sense, don't walk away from being obedient to Jesus. He transforms people's lives in the place of obedience. Don't find shortcuts. John Maxwell says, the longest route to your destiny is a shortcut. The fastest route is in obedience. He will transform you and he'll accelerate the miracle. Just stay obedient. Even when it's tough, don't get distracted. You need view groups. You need people around you to encourage you to stay obedient. Last few things I'm going to mention just from a spiritual side before I just get practical is, yes, these people were thirsty. Of course, you and I have got a great thirst, an eternal thirst. God's placed it inside of us. He's put eternity in our hearts, and nothing in the temporary is going to fulfill you. And whenever you do feel empty, remember that should ignite a hunger for the eternal. For an eternal Savior. So when you do, don't be intimidated by your thirst. As Sprite, Mashrobli would challenge you, drink Sprite. But when you do feel thirsty, let it be a reminder that you were made for Christ. Ask Him to fulfill you. Ask Him to satisfy your thirst. Don't be intimidated by your emptiness. Don't be intimidated by your thirst. Don't be intimidated by seasons of loneliness. Don't be intimidated by being disappointed. Whenever you feel those things, remember God's inviting you to Him. So He will turn you that disappointment into joy. He will satisfy your thirst. He will turn things around. Whenever you do that, don't feel intimidated. You know, this is just a reminder that I was made for the eternal. I was made to serve Jesus. I remind you spiritually that those pots, even though they put water in it and they were doing the washing of their hands, it was the outward act that didn't lead to the inward victory they were really looking for. And there was an emptiness just in the tradition. And don't get caught up in tradition. Don't get caught up in just coming to church. Don't get caught up in just doing the right thing, somehow thinking that that's what's going to save you. It's a relationship with Jesus that changes your life. Don't get caught up in just going through the motions. And the last thing I want to point out is this was the first miracle. If you let Jesus do the first miracle in your life of coming into your life, filling you with His Spirit, saving you, you can expect many more miracles to come. Because this was just the first miracle, and He invites you to the rest of the miracles. So practically, from this story, what could I encourage you to do? And there will be many more practical lessons than just this, but I want to give you four things. Number one, wise is the couple who invite Jesus to their wedding. Wise is the person who invites Jesus into their life. Wise is the young person who invites Jesus into their journey as they go through school. Wise is the young adult who invites Jesus into life as they are going through a single season where God's still getting them to see that their contentment's in Christ. Wise is the person who invites Jesus into their business. But I want to encourage you to invite Jesus into your situation. How did the miracle happen? They were wise enough to invite Him to the wedding. If He never came, they would have run out and they would have been embarrassed. But Jesus, in His goodness, did the miracle and pointed them to what He wanted to really do in their life. And it just starts with inviting Jesus into your heart. Scripture says, God draws you unto Himself. Scripture says that he knocks on the door of your heart. If you'd open up that door, so you respond. See, he knocks, you invite. Invite him in, he'll live in your heart. He'll dine with you. You'll be satisfied. Have you stopped inviting him in? Have you compartmentalized your relationship? The other thing is, sometimes we invited him in, and we start doing things that we know we can't invite him into. And we know, come on, there's parts of our lives that we can't invite him into because we know he's not honored there. It's not a place of obedience, and it's not a place of faith. We know we're actually trying to take a shortcut here. And so longest route to your destiny, of course, is a shortcut. And so I encourage you to invite him in. If you invite him in, you're inviting the miracle worker in. You're inviting the one who can do a miracle in a day. He can accelerate your breakthrough. Invite him into every part of your life. There's nothing too big. There's nothing too small. Jesus is willing to come into every situation. I want to remind you that he walked into a wedding, and chapters later, he walked into a funeral and called a man out the grave. He's not intimidated by any season you're in. He'll walk into any season, and he can be the solution at the wedding and at the funeral. I encourage you to invite him in. The second thing I encourage you to do is to serve Jesus. Mary's words is something we should highlight, put in bold letters. Whatever he says to you, do it. That's what she told them. She's a wise woman, and that should be what we take on. Whatever he says to us, do it. You know, I could ask you who had the better seat or who was in a better position, the people receiving the wine or the people pouring the wine? See, the thing is, it says that the head of the banquet, he would be the head coordinator of the wedding. He'd be the head of all the people serving. It says he never knew where the wine came from. But you know who knew where the wine came from? The people who were serving the wine. I tell you what, the people who were drinking the wine never knew where the wine came from. But you know who knew where the wine came from? People who were serving the wine. There might have been the bridegroom didn't know where the wine came from. You know who knew where the wine came from? The people who poured the water in the jars. So many of us think that we're going to get more out of life as we are served. But we really start to live when we serve others because we'll start to see the miracles our God is doing. We understand him at another level. Encourage you to serve every season of your life. You know, from 17 to 22, I prayed. I knew there was more. I just never experienced a breakthrough. And at 22, I served with no strings attached. And it's like everything I'd ever been looking for started to happen. It's like he let me in on secrets. I started to take more responsibility for people, and he actually opened my eyes to more. And it's weird. I started to see the miracles, and I knew this is everything I've ever looked for. But I never found it in receiving. I only found it in giving, in serving. And so I pointed it out. The Sea of Galilee receives water from the mountains in the north. The water flows out the south into the Dead Sea. They both receive the same water. The Dead Sea gives nothing. The Dead Sea has no life. Galilee receives and gives, and it's full of life. Just because you're receiving doesn't mean you're going to have life and life to the full. It's when you're serving that you start to experience life and life to the full. And they experience the miracle. Amos 3 verse 7, surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants. I love that. The sovereign Lord does nothing. When you're a servant, he reveals his plans. It's incredible. I encourage you to be a servant. And think about it. You're going to be so much more confident in your marriage and as a parent because you're serving and he's revealing plans to you. So even when things go haywire, you know why he's doing it. You know where he's going. Servants have way more confidence. They're at peace because they know he's busy with a solution. Where there's emptiness, he's bringing fullness. Where there's disappointment, He's bringing joy. They know He's doing something, that, and their faith, even in the hard seasons, will stay high. They know He's on the job. Third thing I encourage you to do is be filled with water. Scripture points to, shows that water can be remind us of the word. Ephesians 5 verse 25 says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. You know, how do you get your jar full of water? Ready for the miracle. Ready for the accelerated miracle. You need to make sure there's water in your jar. That's why we encourage you. We're even putting devotionals out every morning on social media. Simple devotionals in the book of John. I encourage you to fill your life with water. Get the word in. Every day, a bit more water. A bit more water in the jar. I encourage you to have that jar ready for a miracle. You know, God could accelerate it today, tomorrow, but you don't have to worry about that. Your job is just to make sure there's water in the jar. Get into the word, put the word into you. Don't neglect your quiet times. More and more of the word. Even as you're filled with water, God can touch that water and do a work that only He can do through His Holy Spirit. If we cannot do the cards now, guys, sorry. If we cannot do the cards, sorry, if we can stop the cards along. So I encourage you, as you're filled with water, God can touch that water and give you a fresh touch, the freshness that the Holy Spirit brings into your life. And as you go, I can only be this full, God can pour out His Spirit to cause it to overflow in your life. Because Scripture says, be filled with the Spirit. That's a word, continuous word. It means there's no limit to His Spirit. This year, we've had water restrictions in Cape Town. There are no Holy Spirit restrictions. You might feel limited in the amount of water you can get in. If you can get that water in, He can put His unlimited Spirit in your life, cause it to flow in your life. So as you're filled with water, trust to be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5 verse 15, be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. And Jesus, as He does the miracles, actually inviting them to be filled with His Spirit in the future, to be filled with the Spirit of God. This miracle is an invitation to bring your emptiness, to bring your disappointment, and know that He can do the impossible. He responds to our emptiness. He responds to our disappointment. Where sin abounds, grace abounds even more. He's a good Father. He'll go out of His way. He'll leave the 99 for one. He will come for you. You might feel all alone. He will come for you. He will knock on the door of your heart. I encourage you to invite Him in. As you invite Him in, you can experience the first miracle where He saves you. He puts His Spirit inside of you. And it's just the start. There's so much more that He has for you. Just with every eye closed, you might be in this place and you need to invite Him in. You sense He's knocking on the door of your heart. Scripture says those who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Scripture says as that we confess that we're sinners, you're confessing that you need Him. He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. Scripture says as we confess He's the Son of God, believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, we'll be saved. If you need to invite Him in, I'd love to lead you in a confession. If you're saying, include me in that confession, why don't you give me a wave? If that's me, include me in that confession. If that's you, God bless you. Anyone else? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else? Just saying that God bless you. Just saying, I know God's knocking the door of my heart. I want to open up that door. Anyone else, give me a way of saying, if you sense God knocking the door of your heart, this is your time to, God bless you, to invite Him in. Anyone else, God bless you. God bless you. Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for knocking on the door of my heart. I want to open up that door and invite you in to save me. I confess that I'm a sinner. Thank you that you're faithful and just to forgive me of my sins. I confess that you are the Son of God. I believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead. Because of this confession and this belief, the Bible says that I'm saved, that I'm changed, and I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, just thank Him in this place. Thank you, Jesus. Can I ask everyone just to look before we go? Just Yaku's standing at the door. This door is open. If you put your hand up, maybe you didn't put your hand up. You prayed that prayer. You meant it. Or you've put your hand up. You prayed that prayer. Your next step is to tell one of our prayer counselors. We've got men and women. Just tell them you prayed it, made a commitment or recommitment. Let them pray with you and tell you about your next foundational step. You're a scene. We want to get as many of these cards, so they're going to put it at the door. Some people might hand it to you, but these are your invite cards. Remember our Easter egg drive. You can buy one of these when you shop. New people can go to the God Can banner to get your first coffee, but everyone can go there also to find out more about view groups or any other information you need. Have an awesome Sunday. God bless you guys.